to begin with, can you tell us about the scheme itself? How does it operate and what is its purpose?
So the PALM stands for the Pacific Australia Labour Mobility, and it is a guest worker program designed to fill labour gaps in rural and regional Australia. So what the scheme does is it allows businesses to hire workers from 9 Pacific Island nations, including the Timor-Leste, for low-skilled or unskilled jobs. And there are two types of work streams where Pacific Island workers come to Australia, either under a short period one, up to 9 months, or a longer one, from 1 to 4 years. And the scheme itself is actually managed by the Department of Foreign Affairs and the Department of Employment and Workplace Relations.
Can you tell us about some of the concerns that you've identified?
Sure. There are many factors actually that increase the risk for farm workers, and these actually differ for other migrant workers who come to Australia under different visas. For example, when the farm workers are in Australia, they are placed in remote areas and they have to share accommodation with strangers. And this brings about the issue of social death, where the workers have limited social life. And since the beginning until the expiry of the visa, there is this kind of dependence. And some of the other risk factors for farm workers are also actually linked to the contractual agreements. For example, participants in our study reported signing 2 different contracts, one in the home country, one in Australia, and some of them were not even given a copy of what they signed.
Palm workers appear to be slipping through regulatory cracks, and yet they are vital workers in the Australian meat industry. And this leads me to asking about how this fits within Australia's history of indentured labour and the question of modern slavery in Australia today.
When we tend to think about modern slavery, we tend to think about images of workers being chained to their employers. But today the chains are more psychological than they are physical. So in Australia, our Federal Modern Slavery Act, it defines modern slavery as an offence under the Criminal Code, and that includes human trafficking, forced labour and debt bondage, amongst others. And our study really accepts the premise that modern slavery exists on a spectrum of exploitation. That is, labour conditions often deteriorate gradually, with workers transitioning from decent work to exploitative conditions. And it is true to say that Australia has a troubling history when it comes to exploitation of Pacific Island labourers. For example, the literature talks about the blackbirding era, where in the late 1800s, industries in Australia have relied on labour from the Pacific Islands to fill domestic labour shortages, in sugarcane plantations, for example. And those conditions were akin to slavery. So the PALM scheme is different, obviously, from the blackbirding practices, but there are still serious concerns, I believe, about how workers are being treated in Australia. And what our report does is to highlight the need for Australia to break from this dark history of exploitation.
I was wondering if there were any stories from the report that you really wanted to share or highlight.
So our study has shed light, actually, on several issues, stories from workers about long working hours, overtime pay. But the most important one would be the restriction on the freedom of workers. The workers under the PALM scheme, they are not free to move or look for work elsewhere, even if their rights are breached. So a significant story, I would say, that emerged about the restriction of freedom is that all the participants in our study were actually pressured to do unpaid team leader roles. So team leader, what we found out, was something that was chosen by a vote in their home country or by the labour agent here in Australia or by a majority vote of their team members. So often the team leader is selected because they have better English level or even a driver licence. And all participants in our study were team leaders, and they told us how they had to attend meetings or be the spokesperson for their peer colleagues. And they were responsible for driving their teammates to the abattoir as early as 4 a.m. or during the afternoon or evening drop-off when they finished their shift. And that left them more exhausted. And all these are unpaid duties. Mm. So what we did, we asked the workers why they didn't refuse. Many workers told us it's because of their cultural background and their sense of community. Back home, they have village chiefs who take concerns to higher levels. So they feel like a strong responsibility to support their peers here in Australia, even if they feel exploited.
What concerns are these workers trying to have highlighted, and what changes would you like to see as a result of this report?
Yeah, so we have made seven recommendations in actually seven key areas for policy reforms. But the most important change that we want to see is increasing mobility for palm workers. Right now, there is a very peculiar situation where the workers, even if they want to leave, for example, a bad employer, they have to ask the permission of that employer. They have to also ask the permission of the new employer. And they also need to get the permission of the Department of Employment and Relations. And this is such an unrealistic expectation for most of us, let alone someone who is new to Australia without cultural connections. And if I may touch lightly on another recommendation that we make is increasing the number of country liaison offices, but just not more offices, but increase in the accountability. So country liaison offices is the focal point between palm worker, approved employers and the government. And their role is to provide on-ground support to those palm workers to facilitate their time under the scheme. But in our study, none of the workers we spoke to had been visited by a liaison officer. Some didn't even know that their liaison officer existed. Mm. And there have been some reports that some country liaison officers tend to act in the interest of the scheme. So this means problems could have been overlooked. And it is for this reason that we are calling for greater accountability from these country liaison officers.
Do you have any suggestions for, you know, listeners and the community who want to support these workers and sound the alarm for accountability and change?
Yeah, so I think the listeners and the community can start by informing themselves about issues that palm workers face or the issue of modern slavery. Reading a report like the one we've published is a great place to start, but I think another powerful way to hold the government accountable is by supporting campaigns calling for better protections for workers. And from memory, the recent campaigns are the ones from the Australian Workers Union to abolish tax on departing palm workers so that they can retain a greater portion on their superannuation. And public pressure, I think, can really make a difference in pushing for change. So getting involved, speaking out is crucial. But if I may, mm-hmm. I also want to share that we are organising a photo exhibition and panel discussion to highlight the stories and images of temporary migration from Pacific to Australia. So this is a photo exhibition being organised with scholars from Australian National University and Griffith University, and it's taking place in Canberra on the 13th March at the Australian National University campus with the photographs taken by the Pacific Island workers, and it will be on display. So I warmly invite all listeners in Canberra to join us and experience this impactful exhibition.